Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bullandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. Cold January Friday, but only 69 days until opening day at Citizens Bank Park. So have that to look forward to. We have spring training coming up less than a month, and hopefully, you know, the Eagles can take care of business this weekend against the Rams and, you know, move on, eventually get to the Super Bowl. And a Super Bowl run would create a very nice bridge for us to get to spring training. And hey, I'll tell you what, the Sixers and even the Flyers are not doing necessarily their part. So need the Eagles to do their part, get to the Super Bowl just to get us to that bridge to spring training. And then before you know it, the bats will be cracking, gloves will be popping, and we'll have some baseball, some Phillies baseball, which is always a good thing. And so we'll get to a bunch on the pod today. Not a ton going on, but you know, as always, we'll find stuff to talk about. That is never a problem here on Phillies Today. Going to go through some more free agent trades, potential possibilities there. And obviously, we had some Jeff Hoffman news that I haven't talked about yet. Some potential bullpen options. Like I said, I'll get into the free agent stuff that could still be a possibility for this team. Also, some early MVP Cy Young odds I wanted to get into a little bit as well. And yeah, we'll see where that takes us. But before I get started, also wanted to give a quick shout out. Bob Uecker, longtime Milwaukee Brewers radio announcer, one of the best out there, legend. Has been in Major League, of course, which is one of the things I most know him for, and just a true legend of the sport and of baseball announcing. Passed away at the age of 90 on Wednesday. On Thursday. So wanted to give a shout out to Bob Uecker as well, who, again, just a legend in the sport, one of the baseball icons in media that I idolized growing up, and just a truly iconic voice, and truly a shame. So Bob Uecker, rest in peace, man, and a true legend of the sport. So before I get into any Philly stuff, wanted to throw that out there for sure. But getting into the Phils here, want to start with something that, now, as I've mentioned sort of as a possibility for this baseball team as the offseason's gone along, and one of the biggest question marks, or I guess main topics of the offseason, has been surrounding Alec Boehm and just maybe the third base position in general for the Phillies. And as we know, Alec Boehm had a phenomenal first half of the year, was an all-star starter, and dealt with some injuries in the second half of the season, the hand injury. Of course, we know the attitude issues that went on, especially towards the latter half of the season and into the postseason in that Mets series specifically as well. But Alex Bregman was a name that I brought up a lot during the early stages of free agency. And he's still a name that's out there. He has not signed yet. And it came out originally that he was looking for a $200 million contract. And it feels like for somebody who is probably in the latter stages of his career, who is on the decline and maybe won't be the Alex Bregman that won the World Series in 2017 and even in 2022 against the Phillies, that was not going to be a price the teams were going to pay. And as we're finding out right now, that seems to be the case. So Bregman is sort of lurking out here in the weeds, and I wonder if the Phillies or any other team maybe takes a chance on a shorter term deal with him. Maybe it's some higher AAV. And that's kind of what I suggested to start the offseason. Like, I like Alex Bregman. I still think he can be a very positive contributor in a lineup. And frankly, he fits the Phillies lineup very well in terms of chase, in terms of, you know, getting on base and putting the ball in play, things of that nature. And maybe he doesn't have the power and the raw hitting numbers that he once put up, but at the same time, he's still a very productive ball player and, you know, plays a great third base as well. So you can't forget about that. And I saw some of the national reporters around the sport kind of talking about how maybe he could take sort of like a Blake Snell contract last year, to where, you know, you give him the opt-out after 1 year and you just, you know, give him a large number in terms of AAV for those years. And I think that's something that the Phillies maybe would be interested in. And it all obviously would depend on if they were wanting slash willing to move Alec Boehm. And I want to make this very clear. At this stage in the offseason, A, I don't expect it. And B, like, I don't want to just give up Alec Boehm for, you know, nothing right now. Like, I want, if they're going to make an Alec Boehm deal, it would be something to where I would want them to get something substantial in return, and at least something that, you know, they can have in, looking towards the future, and maybe just get a piece that they can, you know, develop and eventually turn into a contributor for the Major League Ball Club. And with Bregman, I almost wonder, like, I asked myself the question, would I risk just having 1 year of Bregman to give up Alec Boehm? And I know Alec Boehm is, I think, due for a contract after next season, not this upcoming season, but the following season. And I don't think the Phillies will probably pay him what he's looking for. And again, it all depends on how he, you know, is the next couple of years. And if he comes out and takes the trade rumors personally this season and goes out there and puts up some of the numbers that he did in the first half, but for more of a prolonged stretch, sure, I think that Alec Boehm could turn into a player that, you know, gets over $100 million and, you know, maybe gets a longer-term deal with the Phillies or whoever else wants to, you know, take a chance on him there. But I wonder if the Phillies, if they're in an all-in mindset this season to where they would want a probably more established player right this second in Alex Bregman, who, you know, like I said, feels his position well, fits the lineup well, and, you know, probably, if you were to ask me, just on the surface, contracts aside, money aside, you know, even attitude and personality aside, who would I rather have on the Phillies right this second, Alex Bregman, or Alec Boehm? You know, I'm probably choosing Bregman. And I just wonder if they were to have Bregman for only 1 year and that's all they were guaranteed, if he signed a contract similar to Blake Snell to where he could opt out and become a free agent next year, after, you know, maybe he has an all-star year and kind of has sort of a renaissance season, I wonder if that's the direction that they would go in. And again, I probably think that they won't, but at the same time, I think it's definitely an intriguing possibility. And if this sort of carries on towards spring training, and look, it's January 17th right now, and we still have well over a month until the Phillies go down to Clearwater, I wonder if it turns to February and he's still not signed, is that the deal that he ends up taking? And if he does, like, the Phillies should certainly be players for that, because I don't think the Tigers are paying him what he wants. I don't think the Astros are paying him what he wants. I don't think the Mets are paying him what he wants, and we'll see. It feels like they're not bringing back Alonso, and the Mets did re-sign Jesse Winker today to a one-year deal. So I just am curious to see if the Phillies would go in that direction. If they would, you know, do they start fielding offers for Alec Boehm? So definitely an interesting topic to, you know, kind of brainstorm through and just think of the different possibilities there. But I wouldn't necessarily close the door on Bregman yet. Like, I'm leaving it very, very slightly cracked open. So that is where I'm at on the Alex Bregman and Alec Boehm stuff. I mentioned it at the top here as I, you know, kind of switch gears here. But Jeff Hoffman signs a 3-year, $33 million deal with the Toronto Blue Jays. So Jeff Hoffman, sadly, no longer a Philly. I mean, if you think about not even just in Philly's history, but in recent Philadelphia sports history, there aren't many better, more unique stories than Jeff Hoffman. Like, he's a first-round pick with, I think it was the Blue Jays, and was a high first-round pick and was brought in as a starter and sort of, you know, never really gets his footing and bounces around with Colorado, Cincinnati. And then he's brought in here on a minor league deal. And Bryce Harper, as we know, you know, hurts the elbow and is rehabbing. And Jeff Hoffman starts pitching rehab to Bryce Harper. And then all of a sudden, you know, Bryce says, well, you guys got to take a look at this guy. He might be somebody we could use up here on the major league club. And boom, 2023, Jeff Hoffman just turns into an absolute stud after he, you know, develops that slider a little bit and sort of works on his mechanics. And all of a sudden, last year, he becomes an all-star. And just an unbelievable 2 years for Jeff Hoffman. And he parlays, you know, two good seasons into a three-year contract. And well, that's all and good, and, you know, very happy for Jeff Hoffman because he was somebody who was very easy to root for here. Had a ton of success, obviously, and was a big part as to why they were able to win the NL East last year. And, you know, obviously it wasn't just him, but just the entire bullpen imploded, which I still can't believe, by the way. Like, I think back to how good that bullpen was last year throughout the season, and just the fact that they had him and Matt Strom as all-stars, as middle relievers, essentially. Like, that doesn't happen. And, boy, they just end up collapsing against the Mets. Just brutal, brutal, brutal. But getting back Jeff Hoffman here, had a phenomenal two seasons here in Philadelphia and gets a $33 million contract over 3 years. But the interesting thing is, and of course, right when it comes in, I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, I would have done that deal if I was Dave Dombrowski. I would have absolutely brought Jeff Hoffman back here at this price for, you really needed, I guess, one more leverage bullpen guy, which I'll get into later in the pod, but I would have done it. And then it comes out a day or two later that Jeff Hoffman failed two physicals in the free agency process, one of which was with the Atlanta Braves. So obviously the Braves were looking to potentially sign Jeff Hoffman as well. So then once that starts happening and you look at the struggles that kind of happened towards the end of the year, you start to think to yourself, you know, maybe there was something going on with Jeff Hoffman injury-wise. And, you know, he was banged up, but maybe we didn't know to the extent of the injury that was going on. So I thought that was pretty interesting once that all came out, and it made me sort of, I guess, feel better about the Phillies not bringing Jeff Hoffman back. And by the way, the Blue Jays sign him, and I guess they essentially did a Romano for Jeff Hoffman swap there. But I just wonder, because the Blue Jays have historically been, you know, sort of a weird free agency team, and they're one of the richest teams in the sport, and they just haven't done well in free agency, it feels like, over the past few years. Obviously, they were in the Shohei mix. They were in the mix for a couple other guys this offseason and didn't end up, you know, winning out in those sweepstakes. But with the Toronto Blue Jays, it seems like they're kind of making some questionable moves in that front office from time to time. And I wonder if maybe they sort of saw the medicals and there were some red flags there, but they still, you know, went on, did the contract. And hey, I honestly thought he was going to get more than 3 years, $33 million at $11 million AAV. So I think that was, you know, something that obviously the Phillies knew was an issue there. So I feel not as bad about the Phillies not having Jeff Hoffman next year as I maybe did right when he signed the contract. So thought that was something that, you know, after the fact was, you know, made me feel a little more comforted about Dave Dombrowski and how he went about this whole process. So the Phillies do still need some back end bullpen help, I would say. Just, I know the Jordan Romano sign was that's great, and I think he can bounce back, and it's all just about him staying healthy, as it is with, you know, Kepler and Jesus.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Zardo and the other guys that they brought in, and I still think they need one more arm, and there are guys that are still out there. And unfortunately, I was so mad the other day when I saw Kittredge went to the Orioles. That was a guy who I definitely wanted the Phillies to pursue, but he is now an Oriole. And Carlos Estevez, who obviously was a Philly last year and they traded for, they traded two prospects to get, he's still out there too. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Phillies explored a potential Carlos Estevez return. And I think that for the right price, it wouldn't be the worst move. Not that I thought that Estevez was anything great last year. And frankly, I mean, the last picture you have of him in your head is him giving up the Lindor Grand Slam in the NLDS. But I think it would be an interesting move. And there are some other names out there that they could potentially go after in terms of back end of the bullpen, because I do think that is where they probably need help most right now. And they have still, I guess, their top four options out of the back end. And Dave Dombrowski said this at the winter meetings would be Romano, Jose Alvarado, Matt Strom, and Orion Kerkring. I think Orion Kerkring could make that next step this year and potentially, be a closer for this team in, the future. But at the same time, I think that it's probably something that they still have to address. And there are some names out there. I'll name a couple here. Tanner Scott would be the dream. Was the Marlins reliever, left-hander, that got traded to the Padres last year, 30 years old, and was, pretty dominant. And he's probably somebody that's going to be out of their price range. But at the same time, you pair him with those guys I just mentioned, and I think you have a bullpen that can rival the one of last year. And as good as Hoffman was, I think that, Tanner Scott's probably an upgrade over Hoffman. And also, he's had so much closing experience, throughout his career, that I think that would probably be a move where he could become your full-time closer. And that's probably a philosophy that I want the Phillies to have this year, which I haven't really been of that mindset in the past, where I want the Phillies to just have a set closer. I've typically been fine with the closer by committee thing, but I just think that it's kind of run its course in terms of that being their strategy. And I think it's definitely worth it to try something new. And Tanner Scott, I think, would be a good guy to, sort of test that out with. And he had a great season with the Padres and Marlins last year, so definitely wouldn't be opposed to that. And the names sort of aren't that great after that. I mean, AJ Minter's out there. He's, had some injury issues and certainly, has had good years in the past. But it's the Phillies have so many what-if guys at this point that I'm not sure that exploring another reliever that has had injury issues in the past is probably the safest move to go with. So, look, they have options, but at the same time, they're going to miss Jeff Hoffman. And he's somebody who just for the last 2 years was as reliable as it gets in the regular season, and was somebody who, you always felt good about when he came into the game. So that is where I'm at on Hoffman. But before I get off of the bullpen thing, there was an idea brought up here at WIP, and Jack and James brought it up on their High Hopes podcast, but it was actually first mentioned by our program director, Rod Lakin, who brought it up to Jack. And I thought it was pretty interesting when they talked about it on their podcast, and I wanted to mention it here. And a name that everyone should know and that has had a tremendous amount of success on in the past is Max Scherzer. And he's still out there as a free agent. And obviously, he's had his injury issues over the course of the past few years, and body's definitely wearing down as he gets a little older. I wonder if he would ever potentially welcome the idea of becoming a closer or a reliever. And look, he's one of the great pitchers in the sport. He's going to be a Hall of Famer eventually. And he has, can you not just picture him having that mentality of coming out of the bullpen, with the eyes and everything, and being a closer for a team and wanting to close out big games for a contender and be in the World Series? Somebody would probably give him money to be a starter. And I do think that's where he'll end up, going and how he'll end up going about this offseason. But I wonder if a team like the Phillies that is a contender, in the National League and is looking to get back to a World Series, if they were to approach him and say, look, we'll give you a nice, you know, 1 year or 1 to 2 year deal to, you know, some a decent AAV, and you want to be the closer for our team, I think you would maybe entertain that idea. So that was something that was interesting that I thought that they brought up, and I'm curious to see how his free agency develops and if that's a possibility for him. And the other big veteran is already off the board. Justin Verlander signed with the Giants last week, so he will be a starter out in San Francisco this year. But Max Scherzer, somebody who has been so dominant throughout his career, body obviously breaking down. Maybe if in one inning spurts, he can kind of rekindle what he was able to do as a starter, you know, in Detroit and Washington. So definitely a little interested on that front in terms of maybe making Max Scherzer a guy that comes out of the bullpen and closes games for you. So just an interesting idea. But one thing I wanted to get to before this early MVP Cy Young odds that I've seen on FanDuel and that have come out over the last few days is Johan Rojas was awarded the Dominican League Rookie of the Year and Gold Glove Award. And Johan Rojas, Dominican Winter League highlights to me. And I don't know if I've mentioned this on the pod yet. I'm sorry if I have, but I really don't think so. It's almost like Ben Simmons hitting jump shots in the summer to where, you know, he just, you go on Twitter another day, up, oh, Johan Rojas, Dominican Winter League highlight. He hit a home run. It's one of those things that I truly have to see in terms of him at the plate at the major league level before I get back y'all in on any Johan Rojas talk. And all last offseason, I was excited about Johan Rojas and thought that, you know, he had the potential to, you know, maybe be a better hitter than he was in 2023. But, you know, at the same time, I can't believe it until I see it at this point. So great. I'm glad he did well in the Dominican Winter League, but just get me to spring training. Let me see how he does there. And you know what? If he performs well in spring training and, you know, starts hitting well, maybe I can get back in on a Johan Rojas resurgence. But hey, had a nice Dominican Winter League. That's all you can ask of the guy, I guess. So that is going to, you know, do it for that portion of the pod. But wanted to get to some early NL MVP, NL Cy Young odds that I stumbled upon on FanDuel this week. They finally came out. So saw Bryce Harper is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7th in National League MVP odds right now at plus 1600. And then the only other guy on the Phillies as of note in these, you know, MVP, you know, odds here, Trey Turner plus 4,000, 14th. Definitely would not put my hard earned money on that one, but hey, never know. And so just in terms of, you know, the leaders in the clubhouse there, you have Shohei at the top at plus 180, Juan Soto at plus 550, Fernando Tatis Jr. at plus 800, and around the top five, Mookie Betts and Kyle Tucker, both around plus 1200. So definitely some interesting odds there. Just by looking at it right now, who I would go with if I was, you know, just looking to place a bet. I hate to say it, but coming off a great year last year, right behind Bryce Harper's Francisco Lindor at plus 2000. Like, what Lindor was able to do for that Mets team last year was, you know, incredible. And I feel like Juan Soto probably hits right behind him, so maybe he has some protection there in that leadoff spot. I wouldn't be shocked to see Francisco Lindor have a year similar to the way he did last year. And just looking at it, that's a good value bet there. But hey, having Shohei there at plus 180 at plus odds right now is never a bad bet either. But going to the Cy Young Award, I wanted to look at Zach Wheeler's case because Zach Wheeler, by the way, was ranked number one among all starting pitchers in Major League Baseball in MLB Network's Shredder that they do, where they just rank the top players at each position. So that's not a shock there. It was, you know, he's just been so unbelievable since he's been a Philly, and he needs a Cy Young Award already. So let's get it to him this year. He's second in the Cy Young odds in the National League right now at plus 750. Paul Skeens, plus 240, man. Like, damn, they're expecting. I know he was great last year, and he was, you know, far and away the rookie of the year and was an all-star and deserved everything. But at the same time, like, second year in baseball, that would be incredibly impressive if he became all-star rookie year, Cy Young in year two. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before the Pirates end up, you know, sending him off and he ends up leaving that organization. So thought that was pretty interesting. But Christopher Sanchez and Aaron Nola tied at plus 3,500, which, you know, aren't terrible odds. And they're, I think, right in the top 15 to 20 area. And hey, Christopher Sanchez, I I think he can even take another step just based off of what he did last year. The stuff is there, man. And the way he was able to rise up to 97, even 98 on the fastball at times was just incredible. And all the way down there at plus 8,000, you have Jesus Luzardo. And I'll tell you what, do I think he's going to win it? Probably not. But if he stays healthy, man, like Jesus Luzardo, this is the thing that's gotten me excited about this offseason. And like, I'd probably rate their offseason if I had to give it a grade right now, like probably a B-. But the reason it's not a D is because of Jesus Luzardo. And I'm really excited for this guy, man. Like, if he can stay healthy and, you know, Caleb Cotham can sort of, you know, work his magic on him and they could find a way to get him to just, you know, go deeper into games. And because he really didn't go that deep into games when he was with Miami. But if he can put it together, like, he's a really, really dominant guy at times. And he has the stuff to be able to be a really dominant pitcher in this league. So that wouldn't be the worst thing, maybe just to sprinkle a little bit of money on. So I might be doing that. We'll see. But I could see him taking a big leap from where he was last year. And just the inconsistencies with the injuries was obviously the thing that was holding him back. And as I wrap up the pod, that is, you know, kind of where I'm at on these MVP and Cy Young odds. And also, before I wrap up, TikTok is supposed to come to an end this weekend, as, you know, the TikTok ban by, you know, the Senate or whoever it is coming about. And Bryce Harper is looking to get, I guess, his influencer era in while he can here. And he's been posting TikToks like every day now and making coffee and showing us what's in his bag. Like, you know, he just needs baseball back. Like, I think he is so bored to where he just needed an activity to do while he can wait till spring training. And the videos have been funny. Like, I'll give him credit. Like, he's, you know, putting his heart into it. And he's basically, you know, becoming an influencer now. And obviously, MLB Twitter and TikTok, they're running with it. And they're reposting all the videos. And it's been funny to see. But who knew? TikTok or Bryce? Influencer era. So that was pretty interesting. If you haven't seen yet, go look on Bryce's TikTok or his Twitter. Or just MLB Twitter in general, you'll see them up there. And it's pretty funny to see. He's out there making lattes and showing everyone what's in his bag as he's on his private jet heading to Hawaii. So thought that was pretty funny and interesting. So just had to mention it. So as always, thank you guys for listening to another edition of Phillies Today. Always appreciate the support. And we will talk to you next week. Hopefully a couple more storylines to talk about. Go Birds. Hopefully a big Eagles win coming up. And we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.